was here in the school when Pastor Joe was a principal. And so I'm just going to call my son up, and he's going to greet you. And the reason that we are in Christian education, I went to Bible school for ministry, youth, and we ended up doing Christian education in missions. So because of Pastor Joe and because of my son. So I just want him to greet you. And he's going to greet you in Lambia, and then he's going to give his memory verse in Chichewa.
Mwana mweweshi mizina iya yesu.
What's your name?
Andrew Chanya.
His name is Andrew Chanya. He's saying, my name is Andrew Chanya.
So now do I see the memory verse?
Go ahead.
Johann chapter 3, verse 16. Pakuti mulunga anakonda jika rapasi kota kutana patsa mwana wake wobadwa yeka. Kudiense wokulipira asata yeke koma kare na omoyo osata.
Amen. That was John 3:16. So we're family-centered and community-reaching wherever we go. And we as a family, we serve in Malawi, Africa. And we are just, there's so much I could say. So much. We are so excited. We have just the favor of God with the government there, the favor of God with the community that we're in. And we really praise the Lord for what is happening there. Not just there, but when we're coming back. We just went to a church last week, and we shared with what God was doing there. And we saw the favor of God. We came home to raise money to build our base of support so that we can go back, because we're staying without electricity for the last year. We have solar as a backup, but we have had no electricity with a situation that has, so cooking is just on local fire. So we came back, we just said, we've been doing this for 16 years, just looking to build our base of support so that we can go back and just be able to give more of our time to what God has called us to do. If you can see living like that day in and day out and doing what you're doing for the Lord, it's a very difficult lifestyle. I'll just keep it at that. So we praise God for what he's called us to do and what he's doing. The investment that I cannot emphasize enough, the paramount years to reach people for Jesus Christ is those young years. Up until when they're 14 years old, there's just scientifically something that happens in their brains that if it's not reinforced up until that, the brain does something and kicks it out. So we are just so blessed to be able to be there and to just minister the gospel of Jesus Christ in a school setting over and over again. So with that said, we came back. We had a project for $5,000. We had to re-strategize everything because the school building that we have in the project is just taking too long. So we had to restructure it and say, okay, we're going to build with the bricks that we have, the cement blocks we have already. We're going to start a pre-K and kindergarten because we have people coming to the gate every day asking to enroll their children in our school. They want a Christian. They're seeing the kids that we've already raised up. They're seeing the families that we're discipling. They're seeing the things that are happening, the English, that the kids are speaking better English than those of the government officials within our area. And they're wanting their kids to go to our school. So with that, we said, we got to do something, God. We know that. So we sat down with a board, and it's an all-Malawian board. That is something that we're also very excited with. This is an indigenous work. They are carrying, while we are here, the Malawians are carrying it there. And we are seeing that we came back with this vision of $5,000 to be able to raise this school. Last Sunday, we were at a church similar to this one, and all the money came in for that building. We praise God. And I'm talking a membership of 48 people. That's God. We serve a God of the impossible. And that's what I hope, that our coming today isn't just to give you an update, but our desire is to be able to infuse you with faith. That when we were singing that song, God, meet my needs. Here I am. Lord, I need you. That was it. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. I want to let you know that when we call on God and acknowledge him, he is a need meter. He is bigger than all of our needs. It doesn't matter how big it is. We walked in that church with a need of a building for this whole year that we're home, $5,000, and God met it in one Sunday. God is the God of impossible situations. He meets our need all. And when we were singing that song this morning, Pastor, it was, Lord, I need you every hour. You know what I heard the Spirit say? You don't just need me every hour. I'm here for you every hour. Every hour we focus on us. I need you. And God is saying, yes, acknowledge me every hour because I'm there for you every hour. I am your need meter. I am the mighty God. He is there. And today I just pray that you be infused with faith. The God that we serve, wherever you're at, whatever we are facing, whatever storm we are in, God is the master over that, and he was there before we arrived there. That is the God that we serve. That's the God that I declare. That's the God that called me to Malawi. That's the God that we are seeing over there, the kids saved. These kids are evangelizing. My son is 12. His friend is 13. These are the oldest kids. We raised them up. And these kids are out evangelizing villages. They're going out and doing the work. And it's just awesome to see what God is doing. And that is why we thank you. Because when we're there and we're having a hard day and we see, hey, they aren't just supporting us. They doubled their support. I'm telling you, weak hands and weak knees, all of a sudden go, hallelujah, somebody's with us. Somebody is standing with us. They're agreeing with us with what we're doing. So on hard days, it's not just us out there. It's all of us out there. It's all of us. If somebody goes out, what does it say? If somebody's in need, we're all in need. Somebody cries, cry with them. If somebody laughs, we're together in this. Wherever, whatever missionaries you support, we are together. When you're together with your pastor, with what he does, we are together in all of that. And it's a fantastic thing that we are doing. All of us. I'm not saying me and our, I'm saying all of us sharing the gospel, the hope that is needed for this world. Hallelujah. So we praise God for that and what he's doing over there. And that was our big thing that we're looking for. We're also looking for those that will be able to sponsor. It's that time of year we're buying PACES, the curriculum for the children. So we're also looking for those. We have, I think, 5 children left that need sponsorship at $210 for their curriculum this year. So we've paid for that, but we're looking to replace that money because they needed to, that we're in the process of ordering those PACES. So these kids, I just had a few minutes that there's so much that is going on. But I just wanted to thank you for supporting us. And we don't have pictures, but join us on Facebook, Celeste Chanya. You can look myself up. We try to post, but we've also started a YouTube channel, the Chanyas, that we're trying to give updates. It's quite hard for us for communication. Where we are at is very isolated. Pastor Joe knows how isolated we are, and what we are doing is a work. There is no other missionary where I am, and there hasn't been for all the entire time that I've been there. We get Peace Corps workers, but we are right way, way out there. And the work that we are doing is pioneering work. So you really strengthen our hands. So Uchala, Avasaye, Sana. Come on, help me. Hey, hey, hey. Amen. And I'll turn this over to my husband.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if we are supposed to use two. Not sure, huh? Okay. Good morning. How are you? Awesome. First, I want to thank Pastor John and the board and the whole church. Thank you so much for your support. May God bless you. Amen. And it is an honor to be with you this morning. And we thank you for having us. God bless you. I know some of you, you may have a problem with an accent whereby I'm speaking, but bear with me. I know as we go along, you'll be able to pick out my accent. Right? Okay, so just understand. Sometimes I mix R and L, so when I say glory, you may be thinking I'm talking about something else, but it's just mixed up from the background whereby those phonetic orders we were not having in the schools. So then I'm just excited to be able to see the kids at Christian Academy Mission School. They are able to learn, and now they are collecting to say, this is not how we are saying, but this word is supposed to be in this way. So it's just like so neat to be able to see that. So in that case, I would say all that what is happening, that is actually this school which was in this position, or I would say in this church, that is part and that is the setting of what is happening there. That is the impact on those kids whereby it is happening there. So as I'm standing before you in this position, in this very specific area, it brings me some memory in my mind, because I remember that some years ago, I stood in the very spot sharing to the students at Heritage Christian Academy. So this is just like so amazing. Thank you so much. Oh. Shall we get our Bible and open in the book of Luke? Luke chapter 8. Starting from verses 22 through 25. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Now, it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obeyed him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you for this wonderful morning you have given to us. We thank you for your presence, the Holy Spirit, O God. Thank you for this good day. And we pray that God, by your power and your spirit, you will meet our needs, O God.
I don't know what need might be. But you are so faithful, able to touch. It doesn't matter how the situation or how big the need might be. But what we know, you are God and faithful. May you meet our needs, touch our lives, oh God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray. Amen. Amen. God is so good.
Oh, Lord.
God is in the boat. God is in the boat. In the three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and there are three following incidents that are closely united, and the lake storm devil sent into the herd of swine, and the raising of the little daughter of Jairus, the healing of the woman who was afflicted with the issue of blood. Although this cycle of the acts is always united by three, yet they do not occupy the same position chronologically in the three gospel. The Sea of Galilee, whereby Jesus is with his disciples. The Sea of Galilee in Israel was one of the largest water fresh lake. Its maximum is about 33 miles, and it is very big lake. And comparing to some of the lake whereby I have seen within the Cape and somewhere, they say it's big, but to me when I see, it's just like the pond, right? So then in Malawi we have the lake, we call it Lake Malawi, it's big. So now seeing about the lake which is in the Galilee in Israel is 33 miles. And which is very big. And the maximum of its length is 13 miles. And the while in the width is 8.1 miles. And the shore length is 33 miles. And surface area is 64 square miles. And the average depth is 25.6 meters. And that is, that's deep. If somebody is drowning there, is dead. It's like, help me, God. And the maximum depth is 43 meters. And it is about 209 meters below sea level. While in some area, we'll say the surface elevation is about 214.6 meters. And what caused the storm in that Sea of Galilee? What caused the storm? It was common due to its low laying position in the lifting valley around by the hills, the mountains, and the sea is in the middle, and the hills and the mountains is like way out, and then the sea is like in the middle. And it was very common due to the position whereby it was at. And this area, as the cold air was going down, descending to the lake, and the warm air was able to go up, and it was very common, and it is still common to this day. And that's why during Jesus' time, and we see that it happened that when the air cold air was descending, the warm air was getting up, and that's what was usually causing sudden and violent storm, as it happened during Jesus' time, whereby he calmed. And the main feature of the lake seems to be that it is always changing, just as storm, especially likely when an east wind blows cool air over the warm air, and that covers the sea. The cold air, being heavier, drops as the warm air rises. And this sudden change can produce surprisingly furious storm in the short time, as it did during Jesus' time. Amen. He got in the boat. I know in most cases, all these statistics and all what was happening is not really what we should be speaking. But it helps us to understand what was happening during Jesus' time when he was with the disciples and how big the lake was. And this is the time whereby Jesus got in the boat with his disciples. And Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side of the lake. Let's go to the other side." I can imagine what was going through disciples' life or in their mind, what was happening. Since disciples were so used with this lake, fishing in the same area, so they were used with it. And I can imagine what was happening in their mind to say, "Yay, hello, yes, let's go to the other side," as they were always crossing over, going to the other side. So they were excited to be able to go with Jesus. They were unanimously all on board with Jesus' word, being in agreement with Jesus' word to go to the other side. They had to trust of what Jesus spoke to them, that they have to go to the other side. But the problem is, sometimes when things are going very well and things are calm, we get so excited because it is easy. But when a situation comes, we end up changing our tone and end up blaming someone else of what is happening. And this is disciples now. We see that they were unanimous, see, with Jesus' word, being in the board with Jesus' word, as he said, "Let's go over to the other side." And they said, "Yes, we are excited. We need to go with you." And they were with him. But when the situation came, the windstorm, the raging of the sea, then the situation changed right there. And they were like, "Master, where are you? We are perishing right now." But yet they were with him together and saying, "Yes, let's go to the other side." And this is what happened in most cases, even in our lives, as the way it happened with disciples. They were so excited to go to the other side. And in their mind, they are like, "We are professionals. And it's just, we are professionals. We have been sailing with all this boat for several years. And we have been crossing. We know the route. We can go to the other side." You know, sometimes profession stand in our way, blocking of what God wants to do in our lives. Instead of allowing God to do his work in our lives, we stand with our profession to say, "I am professional, I can do this." And in that way, we remove God, that who is the master over all things, and we say we can do. You know, when we say we can do, I think it's whereby God say, "Do on your own." But if we can allow him to say, we will remove all our professional and let God do his work. I know he can do his work. And disciples were like, we are professional, we are fishermen, we can do this, and we will be able to go to the other side. But with their professional of what they were doing, but when a storm came, they could not be helped with their profession. Only Jesus was able to help them. Only Jesus was able to help them. And this is what happened. If we can relate to this young man, the ruler, who was very rich, and when he came to Jesus, what must I do in order to inherit the kingdom of God? You know, this young ruler, he was rich, and he said, I know all this. When Jesus was saying, you have to do this, all this commandment, he said, I know all these things. I have been doing since I was youth. Can you see? I know all these things. And this is what happened even to us sometimes. I have been coming to church since I was a youth. I know all this. But we end up missing the point of what God wants to do. Coming to church from your youth time is not what really is all about. It's about what you do with what God has invested in your life. And this young man, Jesus seeing him, I like how the writers, like, how they record in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, how it indicates differently. Then one say, when Jesus said, you lack this. But you go to the other say, what must I do in order to, he say, when this young man indicated of what he has been doing in his life, and how committed he has been following all this rules, then Jesus, seeing at this young man, he said, he loved him when he looked at him. But he said, you need to go and sell all your riches and give it to the poor. Can you just imagine? And what about our lives? We come to church every day, and in all what is happening, but when we go outside of the church, what really do we do? Yes, we know the Bible. That's whereby I've heard some people say, I have read the Bible from cover to cover. I have gone to the college. Theology is nothing. I know all this about. I have doctorate. I have master's degree on theology. I have been studying. But if I can study all from cover to cover, but yet I don't follow anything which is in there, what does it benefit me? That's whereby profession come and end up stopping us from what God can do. Then we need to stand in the position of following what God is telling us to do. Amen. I know disciples' profession did not help, but only Jesus helped them. And in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So how many times do we try to lean on our own understanding? And we end up leaving God. Even today, if we would say somebody's in a situation, maybe someone is sick, I know logically does not give any sense. When you start to stand with your logic and say, you are having this situation, we will pray and God will solve that. Maybe somebody is sick. Maybe you are having pneumonia right now. And say, we will pray and God will touch you. You know, to the outside people, does not give sense. Because we would just pray, God, may you touch this person, heal this person. But when we go to the doctor's office, and they would tell us what to do, you need to take this tablet and you will be okay. People trust more what they can touch, what they can feel, and what they can see, than what God can say.
Am I correct? Am I right? I know somebody is saying, what are you talking about? And this is what is really happening. If we come today at the church, maybe you came like broken-hearted. Maybe having the spirit of not forgiving. Maybe you are sick. When we say God has got power to change all what is happening in your life, God has got the power to heal, and somebody will not hear that. We say it's better to go to the professional that they can instruct me. And this has to stop to trusting more about the profession. I'm not saying it's bad to trust the professional rather than trusting what God is saying. Then God is faithful, He's powerful, He's able to touch. And when we go to the doctor, they will tell us what to do. And we will really believe. And because we are taking those tablets and drinking, we say, I will be healed. But when we come to the church and maybe the pastor is saying, we will pray with you and you will be healed. I'm telling you, people are having a hard time to believe that. Because we are just speaking to saying, God, may you touch. And you can't really touch God. We are just saying, but when you touch the medicine and the profession, we say, yes, that's true. But I need to say, God is beyond all those medicine we can get from the hospital. God is beyond all professionals, what they can instruct. Then all instruction and powerful things are in the word of God. There is power in the word of God. Can somebody ask me, say, do you believe that God can do that? Yes, I believe that God can do beyond what other people can do. Not necessarily I'm saying that professionals can't give some instruction, but we end up drifting away from what God is saying and we end up relying to other things apart from what God is saying. Now, in Luke 5, verse 4 to 5, then they launched out. They launched out. And he said to Simon, he said, launch it into the deep area. You know, Simon, being a professional, being a good fisherman, he could not believe. This is the time when Jesus shared the gospel with so many people. And now this is the time whereby he is ending his message whereby he was sharing. Then he said, we need to go now out. He said, launch out to the other side. As they moved with the boat, then he is telling now Simon to say, you need now to cast your net to the deep area. You know what Simon was saying? He said, I just love what Simon is saying. He said, oh, master, we have toiled the whole night. He said, we have toiled the whole night. Then you are saying we should cast or dip the net to the deeper area because being a professional, know how to fish and even where fish can be found. He said, we have toiled the whole night. But what I love about him, he said, but at your word, I will let down to the deep area at your word. But I can just see what is happening. This is what happened even to our life sometimes. When we talk that, can you just believe God? We say, really? I have been trying for many years and nothing seemed to be working. But this is Simon. He's in the same position. He said, at your word, I will launch. And he did. Do you know what happened afterward? They caught the large amount of fish. And all people were surprised. And he even made the signal to other people to come to the boat. And the fish was even put in other boats and they were sinking for the miracle which happened there. And you know, in the life of Simon, this is what is like blowing me away on what happened. You know,
Later he was like, Master, get away from me. You know, sometimes when things happen, like miracles happen, he say, get away from me. Would he not be saying, you are really the master? Instead of saying, may you come right to me, I bow down before you. But he said, Master, get away from me. Because he realized, but this is not just a mere man, this is God. Something is different with this person. And that's what was getting closer. But instead of saying, come closer to me, he said, go away. You know, sometimes when things happen, we end up saying, not you, but you are getting away. You know, God is so wonderful and is so great. And he is merciful. But as we see the life of Simon, even though he was saying, Master, get away. Did the Master get away? He was right there with him, showing him that he is not just a mere man. He is God. Amen. Then their faith were questioned. Their faith were questioned. If I would come to you right now, or maybe your pastor would come to you and say, you of little faith, how would you react? You'd be so mad to say, how dare, Pastor, would you be telling me that I have little faith? And we end up fighting each other because somebody pointed out your mistake, right? Because somebody pointed out your weakness. We end up fighting each other. How dare? What about if it would be like, thank you so much. And how can I change from all this and turn to the other side whereby God wants me to be? Would it be more easy? But we end up fighting, pointing finger to each other. But this is not the case of what is happening here. When Jesus questioned the faith of these disciples, pointed them out, they were afraid of what happened. So afraid that we are going to perish. And they went calling him, Master, we are perishing. All this was not something, the fear which was in them and being so afraid of what was happening, then being pointed out that you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Why are you so fearful? But instead, that was helping them. Did not really stand out to them to say, oh, I have mistake. But what really stood out to them was that, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? But he is able to stop even the storm. What kind of man is this who is able to stop the wind, and even the windstorm is able to hear and obey what he's talking about? And that was what stood out to them. But instead, for our lives, we end up standing fighting with each other. But this is not the case with disciples. We can learn something from them, but they did not just see the mistake which they did, but it stood out to them of knowing, acknowledging who Jesus was. And it was showing them and drawing them to know more about who Jesus was. And they say, who is this one? But they go on and on trying to know. Then Jesus is saying to them, who say, why are you so afraid? But if we look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. That is the spirit whereby he has given to us. And when we compare this fear, which is with disciples being afraid that they will perish, and that's what it's all about. In Timothy, We are not given that kind of spirit. We are given the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. But if we look in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 26, it says, they were all amazed and glorified God for what they saw when Jesus stopped the wind. And they said, we have seen strange thing. And he said, we have seen strange thing. And that, my friend, is a powerful thing. We have seen strange thing. And seeing the power and authority which Jesus had by speaking, declaring the word of God. And that's what made them to say in the book of Matthew 8:27. That's what made them to say, wow, who is this one who is speaking with power and authority? And that was drawing them to come closer to know who Jesus was. Was not just a man, but he was God. He was God. And which draws back all way to Old Testament in the book of Psalms. Then we see he has got power to make even the waves to be still. And that is God. He has got power to calm even the waves in the sea. And the sea obey him and they become calm. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were not assured and they were not really come to the place whereby they could know who really was. But as they were getting closer, Jesus was fulfilling of what happened from Old Testament to show them that he is God. He's not just a mere man. He is God. Then today, if we can believe and trust and say, this Jesus is not just a mere man. This is God. He has got power to do beyond what we can imagine. But can we allow God to do his work in our lives? Many sometimes we end up saying no, but only somebody else. But if we can allow Jesus to work in our lives, if we can allow Jesus to do his work in our lives, to be obedient to his word, he can do beyond what you can imagine. And people in the world, they want to see Jesus in our lives. Amen. They want to see Jesus in our lives. The power and authority which was in Jesus Christ, it's the same power which is in us. Then disciples said, who is this one who is speaking with power and authority? And in the word, the power and authority which was in Jesus Christ is the same power which is in us. Because say, you are my children. Those who have received Christ, they have been given power and authority to become children of God. And in the book of Luke, he said, I have given you power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions. And all the power of the enemy. The same power is in us. And in that power is very different because we know that the enemy is having power. But for us, we don't just obtain or we just don't have that power. We have power and authority. That's what is so beautiful about it. For us to be children of God, we have power and authority. And whatever powers of darkness which may be there, we have power. Nothing will be able to stand in our way because we have the power and authority of God in us. And that's what determines for people in the world to see that we are not just mere people in the world, but we are citizens of heaven. And they need to know and see that so that they can come and join us in the kingdom of God. Amen. Can somebody say, is still that power operating today? The answer is yes. That power is still operating. But it's just today, as the church, we are not exercising. We are even dropping to be able to pray, to experience that power. In the worship time, we were hearing about revival and the power, the Spirit of God to be poured upon us. But now, even though we are Pentecostals, we seem not to be experiencing the same thing our people experienced, people before experienced. That power is still at work today. We need to allow the Spirit of God to work and operate in our lives, and the outpouring of the Spirit of God to work in our lives, that those who are sick, they should be able to receive healing today. Deliverance, healing has to come in our lives. When people come in the temple, in the church of God, they should be experiencing the same thing. Not go out with the same situation they came. Healing, deliverance, healing of our heart should be happening in the church of God. Amen. May the Lord Jesus Christ be blessed and be magnified. Amen. So in this point of hour, I just want to pray. In this point, whether somebody is sick, I don't know what you may be going through, but I need to pray. I believe that God is faithful, is powerful, is able to touch. Amen. If you came with the situation today, whether you are sick, then I need to pray, and I need to believe for God's healing upon your life. Amen. Then I need you to listen. If you have situation, you are going through something right now, whether you are sick, then I need you to raise your hand where you are. I will pray right here, and we will believe together as the body of Christ that God will bring that touch in your life. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I believe in a supernatural touch, the power and the Spirit of God, manifestation, presence of God. I know that God, you are faithful. We are your children. We are your people. We thank you for your Spirit, O God. We thank you for your presence, O God. You have power to heal. You have power to touch. Then we believe this morning, O God. We believe that you are faithful. You are able to teach, O God, wherever things we may be going through in this morning, oh God. Today I pray that God, by your power and your Spirit, you will touch, oh God. For in your word you say, your word is so powerful, is able to break all powers of darkness in pieces, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name. Your word is like fire, oh God. Your word, O God, is like a hammer which break everything in like pieces, O God. We pray that God, by your power and your Spirit, you will bring healing right now in the name of Jesus. You will bring deliverance right now, O God. You will heal the hearts, O God. Broken hearts, O God. You will heal by the power and the Spirit of God. For that is what you came for, O God. To heal the broken hearted, O God. That's what you came for, God. To touch those who are poor in the spirit and the hearts, O God. We thank you for your power, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Be blessed, be magnified. And we pray, Father God, for the pouring of the Holy Spirit in this church, O God. In Jesus' name, O God. Throughout the community, O God, you will make this church, O God, to be the light shining in the community. In the name of Jesus Christ, as all people out there, they will be able to see the light, O God, and say, what is so beautiful about this, O God, that we will be able to stand the ground to say, because of what Jesus has done. We thank you and we praise you for healing, O God. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, God, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Great word this morning. How often do we live under that power that's available to us? You know, how often do we find ourselves in that boat and where our eyes are on the waves, or our eyes are on the storm, or our eyes are on our own abilities? We're the professionals. We know how to do this, God. We don't need you. And so in that thing, I think whatever you may be facing or going through, I think that's a powerful reminder, a powerful word, that the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives within us. There's nothing that God cannot do through us. There's nothing that God is not over. There's nothing that that we can't conquer through his power and through his ability. And so this morning, it was a great reminder and really a great word for us to not get our eyes on all those other things, but to continually go back to that, you know, I'm reminded that, Lord, I need you every hour, every minute, every moment, every second of the day. I need your power at work in me, working in me, working through me, helping me through it, whatever it may be. And we also serve a God that can do that miraculous thing, that just completely calm the storm where it becomes nothing. And you look and it's just, there's nothing there anymore because God did a work there. And so this morning, just that was a powerful word, and I hope that you really grabbed onto that. Just recognize that God's power, when it's living within us, there's nothing that is, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no limitation. We are limited, but God's spirit in us and God's work working through us is unlimited. And I think that's a great word this morning. You know, we as a church, and you as a church, have continued to give to missions. And this is one of those areas that we have said, you know, we really want to be able to continue to give. And as Celeste stated, you know, we actually doubled what we were giving them because we truly believe in what they're doing. And we'd like to give even more to the missionaries that we support. I want you to be praying, like truly praying over that faith card to say, Lord, what would you have me to do this year for missions? Because God's word says that we are to go to all the nations and preach the gospel and teach them how to follow his commands and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we can do that here. And we can go to the missions field and do missions trips and things like that where we can be a part of participating in that. But another way that we do that is we simply give to those that God has called to be there, that God has called to go there, who are already doing work and seeing that God is working through them and there's an impact in the area and the communities that they're working in. They can do it better than we can. And I love that their board is mainly those that are they're from there. They know the people. They know how to minister to them. And to me, that's worthy cause. When we can't go, we can give. And we can help those that are going. We can give to those who are called to be there. And in that way, as Celeste so eloquently said, we're actually doing that together. We're not there physically in Malawi, but when we give money and we help and support them, we are there. When their knees feel a little weak and they get that monthly checks of support from our church, that helps to strengthen them in what they're doing. So I want to encourage you to continue to pray over that missions, because we would like to increase all of our missionaries to continue to give more to that work, because that's our mission, as well as here in this community, but to continue to serve outside of here. And so I just want to encourage you in that. I think it's an awesome opportunity for us to participate in what God is doing. And this morning I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're just going to give a love offering. You heard actually that there were, I think, 5 students, was it, that they're looking to raise money for PACES, around $210 per student. And maybe some of this can go to help them just pay for the PACES for those students, and maybe even more. You know, as God gives the ability to do that. We see that a miracle has already happened for them in raising the $5,000, but we know that there's still more work to be done and there's still more things that need to be done. So I just want to encourage you in your giving today and just thank you for sharing with us today and being a part of our worship. We loved having you be here, and you're welcome at any time. This is home, you know, when you're here on the Cape, so we're so happy to have you with us here. And let's go ahead and just pray over the offering. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you that you do live within us. And Lord, we so often fall under the limit of that power that you've given us. And so often we look at our own limitations without taking an account of what you can do. Lord, I pray that you would bless this offering today and bless the Chanya family, Lord, and that you would continue the work that they are doing and that you would use these funds to help them do what you've called them to do. Help us to support them, to continually pray for them as we have prayer cards that are out in the lobby, that we continue to keep them in our prayers and their family in our prayers as we're truly one, as we're working as one on the mission field. Bless this offering and bless each person that's able to give and bless those that aren't able to give today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The offering's going around. I'll make a few comments this morning. I'm not usually this formal, as many of you know. I do ask for your prayers. I'm going to a memorial service after service today. The owner of Chick-fil-A in Hyannis was my former boss. I worked under there. Her son died, 21 years old, a couple months from being 22. And so going to that service after here and just continued prayers for them. You know, they're going through a rough patch, and just pray for God's peace and presence there. And definitely please be in prayer over that for me and for them especially. Let's all stand together. You know, as God has called us to support missions, he's also called us to be ambassadors of his love and of his light here in our community. And, you know, one of the things that we know about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it kind of demands action. We can talk about mission. We can give to missions. But it requires each one of us being obedient, not only financially, but being obedient to the Spirit of Christ in the day-to-day, in our day-to-day interactions, to share the gospel with those that we come into contact with. And so I want to say this over you from Romans chapter 10. And this is not only just over missionaries and over the Chanya family, but we're all missionaries to those that we come into contact with and those that we continually speak into the lives of. And it's Romans 10, starting at verse 13, says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things." I want to encourage you. We thank you for your service. And I thank you for your missions giving. Let's continue to be salt and light to the world that we live in. Continue to be his missionaries. Continue to share the gospel as his followers. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Amen.